This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm excited to be here today for our special edition episode on faith and work with, for the first time ever, a co-host. Can you believe it? I'm here with Kristen Stockton, who's going to be co-hosting this episode with me today. And Kristen is the Chief Encouragement Officer of Restore, Rebuild, and Rise. I want to tell you what she does. She helps high-capacity women of faith integrate, hear it, success with soul, achievement with rest, and purpose with peace. Isn't that amazing? I want all of those things. So we are going to have Kristen joining us today as a co-host of the Faith Conversations podcast. Kristen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about our conversation today.
Me too. Okay, so let's start out just so everyone can kind of get to know you a little bit. Tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background.
Thank you. So I've spent about 30 plus years in the professional world. I've worked for many different companies throughout my career. And currently, I have my own company. So I do consulting and work with a lot of organizations. And I have my heart ministry, which you talked about as the Chief Encouragement Officer at Restore. And, you know, I bring all of that to the conversations I have with people as a professional coach, whether I'm consulting or leading group scenarios for women and others. And I'm just excited to be here to share whatever God has on his heart for us to talk about today.
I'm excited too. So I met Kristen at a Working Women Honor God event, and we immediately hit it off and went to lunch and told our life stories and just discovered that we had so many synergies. And here I am in the middle of recording a Faith and Work series, and I thought, man, she would be perfect to come in and just kind of co-host with us to go over some of these topics on faith and work just because of her background in this area. And more important from her background is her heart and her heartbeat for faith and work, and just that intersection of how life, work, and faith really intersect with one another. So thank you, Kristen. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, thank you, Jessica. You know, for a long period of time in my life, I had this kind of gnawing feeling that something was missing, and I felt like I was doing all the right things, but always kind of feeling like I'm falling short. And so I know the conversation we're going to have today is going to be really helpful for other women who feel like they have this tension between their faith and their life and the steps that they need to take to get where they believe they want to go. And really being able to have those deep values of faith, we all struggle with other things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're really hard on ourselves and we self-impose a lot of guilt and, shameful thinking mm-hmm. about kind of the things that have happened in our life. Let's get into that messy middle that we often find ourselves in and give some practical tools to lift ourselves up and lift our eyes up so that we can really walk with the faith that God has for us.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the big drivers behind this podcast is just to get behind the scenes. You know, I just really want authentic conversation that is genuine mm-hmm. and tells stories of what God's really like, and also what faith is really like, even like that messy middle that you were talking about. So this topic today, we're going to be talking about just how many people walk around struggling with feeling inadequate or feeling mm-hmm. like they don't measure up. I know I have so many times in my life, and that burden can be really heavy to carry and hard to articulate. And so I'm hoping we can kind of shed some light on it today.
Wonderful. Well, tell me a little bit about a time when this kind of rang true for you. When did this topic show up in your life?
Mm.
Yeah. Honestly, the very first time that I saw this creep in for me of feeling like maybe I'm not good enough because of the fact that I'm career minded or at least work minded. I never really had a specific career in mind, but I just knew I wanted to work. And I'm just an ambitious person. I'm a person that's driven, and anything that I've done, I've always just like put my all into it. And the very first time that this idea of maybe I'm not good enough because my idea of being a working woman might be different from everybody else, especially as a Christian, came up when I was dating my husband right before he proposed marriage. And we were talking about the possibility of getting married. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to be what he wants. And I was thinking it in quiet. And why I was thinking it is because I've been a Christian since I was 15 years old, and I grew up in a household with two working parents. And so it wasn't, you know, unusual for me, but my husband's Latino and his mom stayed at home and took care of four kids. And she went back and like worked part-time and stuff, but she really dedicated so much of herself to the household. And I didn't see myself as a person that was going to be that way. And I thought, he probably wants somebody that, you know, if we do have kids, that I would stay home, and he probably wants someone who would be more dedicated in that regard. And I just suddenly started feeling like I wasn't going to be a good wife. I wasn't going to be a good mom. It would either pull me away from my career, or I wouldn't be able to measure up in my household. And all of this, these competing thoughts were coming my way. And I finally confessed them to him, and I told him that I was thinking this way. And he reminded me, he was like, Jessica, why would I think that?
Of course, right?
I know. And I said, well, you know, and I gave him all my reasons. And he said, I don't think that at all. He's like, my sister graduated as an engineer. Why would I ever think that you should pull away from your own career? Or why would I ever impose those types of expectations on you? And I said, well, I don't know. I just thought that maybe you would expect that of me. And that was the very first time in my life when that kind of bubbled up. Mm-hmm. And then there were multiple other times over the years when this topic just came to the floor. I can tell you about them if you want to hear.
Oh, I do. You know what's so interesting is we spend a lot of our own energy building a narrative in our head and a story in our head. And I struggle so much with that same kind of thinking, where it's a big moment. You're in this moment with this man you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and somehow these narratives and these stories just pop up and we give them life.
Yeah.
We
I thought it was true until
we bring
he
in
told
all these facts that aren't there.
But
I love that. And I love the fact that he kind of countered that. And
And I'll tell you, I've been married to him for in a month, it'd be 22 years, and he is my biggest champion. He has never not been that person that he said he was going to be. So I'm so thankful for that.
Well, now there are two things against like the laundry list of things that we have in common, because I've been married for 23 years myself. 22 years myself.
Very close.
And my husband is my biggest champion. And in fact, you know, part of my work life and faith story is grounded in the fact that I was the caregiver for him, because he has been disabled chronically from pain, and so at home, and unable to do the physical work that he used to do. He does consulting, and he has a ministry. He does ministry on the side, but he suffers from a lot of chronic pain and migraines, and also have a blended family. So I became kind of a stepmother, and I had a narrative in my head that I was terrible at all of those things. Mm. So I'm working full time. I'm caring for him, his doctor's appointments, his pain medication, all of those things. Then also coupled with the blended family and being a stepmom for the first time after we got married. I mean, the stories that I told myself about how much I'm failing on all of these accounts were soul crushing. And none of them were true. I mean, he couldn't love me more and felt that I was a great example for my stepdaughter when she was growing up. She was 3 and a half when we got married. But I got stuck in those stories, and they can impact your behaviors.
Right.
And I started to feel more agitated and irritated, you know, just in our lives together because I carried the weight of not good enough.
And thinking that you weren't going to do it well, or that you weren't doing it well. But really, there was no one there telling you that you weren't doing it well. It was just all in your head.
All in my head.
Yeah.
And it exhausted me.
I know.
All the time and energy. Now, though, I think there are ways that we can help people free themselves from
that. I agree.
And that's what I love about the stories that you and I were talking with Ari earlier. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, your journey in your faith and the communities that you were a part of, and how you blended that work persona, the Christian persona, and a time where it kind of backfired in your head again.
Yeah, honestly, it's been such a struggle for me. I'm very, very thankful for where I am today, but I still have to go to the Lord with complete surrender to him, because it's hard. It really is. I feel like I wear a lot of hats, and I do have a lot of kind of personas in my life. And when I was younger, it was so hard for me to blend them. I felt like when I was a mom, I was being a mom. When I was at work, I was at work. When I was at church, I was at church, and my worlds didn't collide. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was being fake in any of those places, but it was just that I was taking on a different angle to my life in those different spaces. So I can tell you a time when this really was awkward for me. So I can remember when my kids were young, I was working full time in a professional career job. And I was attending a church that was great. People there were great. There was a women's ministry that would meet in the evenings, and I really wanted to be a part of it. So I would try to figure out how to make it all work, right? I would have my full-time day at work, and then I would make sure that my parents or somebody was having dinner with the kids on that particular night so that I would be able to break away from work, go to the women's Bible study before going home. And I knew that my kids were getting time with their grandparents and whatnot. And my husband was fully supportive of that as well. He's like, yeah, you should go. You should go do it. Well, for whatever reason, I did not feel like I wanted to be there, but I didn't feel like I belonged. When I looked around the room, I didn't see other women that were like me. And so what I would do is I would take a change of clothes with me, even though I was in a hurry and I would be late. I would, in the parking lot, get into the back seat of my car, take off my professional suit and the heels, and put on casual clothes and walk into the church so that I would look like all the other women. Mm. Like, I just felt like they would accept me more, or that I would feel more normal if I walked in casual clothes, even though I really should have just gotten out of my car with my heels and suit and been like, oh, it's been a long day, sorry guys. You know, I don't think they would have cared. But to your point, I had this narrative in my head that I was going to walk in, and that just being in the suit and heels would relay the message that I'm not taking care of my kids, that I'm not a good wife because I haven't had time with my husband yet today because I clearly came straight from work, and that I'm somehow like wanting to climb some corporate ladder, or that money is more important to me, or that career is more important to me than my relationship with God or than my responsibilities at home. And I just thought, this is clearly what they're going to think of me when I walk in. And so therefore I was trying to mask it by changing my clothes and looking differently when I walked in. And as I reflect back on, I mean, that's a real thing. I did it on multiple occasions. And I look back and think, I was carrying around this sense of I'm not good enough. Mm. You know, I was carrying around this sense of, well, I feel called in my career. I know, I mean, honestly, the job I had, if you listen to some of the other episodes that we have here in this podcast, you'll hear more of my story. God had opened doors to give me those jobs. And so I knew it was God's storyline for my life to be in those jobs. I knew that there was no shame in that. I didn't have to be ashamed of it. I felt confident before the Lord in spending my days in my job and having my kids go to my grandparents on those Wednesday nights or whatever. I felt fine before the Lord, but I didn't feel comfortable before man, I guess. And I just struggled through that a lot. And I will tell you, Kristen, that season is really where I started to look for other women that were like me. And I thought, if I'm walking around feeling this way, there's probably other women who are also Christians who might also be telling themselves that they're not good wives, that they're not good moms, that they're not good enough in their relationship with God, or that they don't measure up in their relationship with God as some of these other women that maybe have more time on their hands than I do, you know, and maybe they're out there and they're feeling the same way and it's a lie. And I want to find them and I want to talk to them and I want to know, how do you deal with it? You know, and I wanted to share about how I was dealing with it. And that really kind of spurred me into trying to create cohorts of people that could come together, women of faith in the workplace, to discuss this topic. And so I just got involved in that when I was living in South Carolina, and now I'm living in Northern Virginia and working in DC and leading a Working Women Honor God group here as well, because I just have such a heart for women that are in this season of life.
It's funny, when you're telling that story, I kept thinking about, you know, we often think about what we put on, and the Bible calls us to put on that we'll be clothed in righteousness. And for us to feel comfortable in whatever clothing we are on, whatever positions that he has put us in, to have the confidence in the fact that he's put you there for a purpose and a reason. And let's not try to cover that up or mask it in some other way that's not authentic. Right. And I think we're all craving for that authenticity.
Right. I agree. I completely agree. It's why this has been an important topic to me. And it's something that I feel I really, really, really want women who feel a struggle or a juggle. Let's rhyme. A struggle with the juggle, right? Like women who, because it's not that the juggle's going to go away. We do have all of these different hats to wear, you know, but we don't have to walk around feeling a sense of guilt or shame because of the roles and responsibilities that God is asking us to steward. And that's where I really want to help other people get kind of wade through those waters and find freedom.
Yes. So let's get a chance to listen to your teaching. And I think if there's anyone out there who feels like they are covered under a shadow of inadequacy, that they're just not measuring up, that they're failing and dropping every ball that's thrown at them, or that they're carrying and keep picking up themselves, I know they're going to get something from your teaching. So let's take a listen now.
I'm not going to dig deep into the very complex topic of shame, but I want to tell you one truth from the Bible, one biblical truth. Shame is not from God. So the voice that might be causing you to experience shame, that is not God's voice. So if you're battling shame, which can be a sense of inadequacy, it can be a lot, like a lot, to the point that it's really weighing you down. Or it could be very little, like just almost not at all, but every once in a while. Or if you're like me, it might be like a wave where it just like crashes in. It comes in and goes, and I feel it. I'm just struggling with it. But then it just retreats. And I'm like, okay, that's not really an issue anymore right now. And then it just crashes in again when I'm least expecting it. Whatever your experience is that's telling you you're not a good mom, you're not a good wife, you're not a good enough Christian, you haven't measured up, you haven't accomplished enough, you haven't helped enough people, that you should be further along, or that other, if only other people knew how messy my business is, or how messy my work life is, or how messy my household is, or how messed up my kids are, or whatever else it is that you have a self-talk that's telling you that you should be ashamed because you're inadequate and fall short from some sort of expectation that either you have for yourself or that you think others or God have of you. Please know that is not God's voice. God does not look at you thinking you should be ashamed. That is not God. Because guess what? God knows we fall short. He does not lord our shame over us. He rescues us from our inadequacies. In Him we trust that even when we do fall short, that God's grace redeems us from that brokenness. God is in control, not us, right? He doesn't look at us through a lens of disappointment, ladies. He looks at us through a lens of love. And when we fall short, His desire is not to lord it over us. His desire is to rescue us from it. He wants to make us whole. That's the whole thing He's going for. His whole mission is to restore us. It's to make us whole. So we really have to fight against the thought that if we could just fix a few things in our lives, we would be more pleasing to God or to others. That if we could just work harder, be better, do more, we would somehow fall short just a little less, and we would somehow warrant a little bit more favor from God or maybe from others. But it's just not true. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We do not live a condemned life. And so when we condemn ourselves, or when we allow that voice in our head to condemn us, we are not living in the freedom that Christ died for. But don't have shame about shame. Please don't have shame about shame. Okay? Now, please, because that we will do that, right? We'll be like, oh my God, I shouldn't be so shameful. No, 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 no. Please don't have shame about shame. Just understand that it's not from God so that you can address it. So I'm going to talk about that. When we take our cares to the Lord, our desire to be a better employee, a better employer, a better mom, a better wife, a better Christian, we should not be taking those cares to the Lord because we want to feel better about ourselves. We bring our cares before the Lord because we know that He accepts us as we are, and we present our desires to the Lord, and we surrender to the Lord to help us in our weakness. Hebrews 4:16, actually this is from one of my tips was Proverbs 31, verse 5 app. I really like the Proverbs 31 is a ministry for women, and the first 5 app is like their devotional app. And in addition to ones you can read, they also just have like really good 15 or 20 minute audio teachings. And one of my good friends was just recently featured as a teacher in the audio portion. She texted me this morning and was like, hey, that thing I was working on, it's online. I was like, oh, it's so exciting. So this morning I listened to it on my way over here. And in her teaching, she actually brings up the Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So if you find that in the midst of your juggle as a working woman of faith, you know you're kind of doing the best you can. I mean, what I hear is like, I know I'm not great. I fall short in so many areas, but I promise I'm trying, right? I'm really trying. But you still walk around with like a cloud around you of this sense of inadequacy or this constant sense. Some people walk around with a constant sense of failure, like I'm just not measuring up, you know? And that you're just not enough in some area of your life. I want to encourage you, please spend some time with the Lord on this. Spend some time with Him on this. He will sort this out for you.
He will bring you the clarity that you need. As you sit at the foot of his throne of grace, you'll realize that he didn't call you to be who you are and do what you do to walk around feeling ashamed. He didn't call you to do these things so that you would be ashamed of your shortcomings. He called you to be who you are and to do what you do so that when in your weakness, you find victory in him. Because we do fall short. We're not supposed to claim the condemnation for that, though. We claim victory through Jesus in our weakness. That even though we are weak, even though things aren't great at home, even though the marriage is on the fritz, even though things are struggling, even though I'm not the best manager at work, even though I don't know what the future is, even though I'm not feeling great about things with my kids right now, that's okay because he fills that gap for us. He does not expect us to be perfect. He expects us to be surrendered.
Wow. That was really powerful. I think what stuck out to me is the whole notion of surrender. And one of the things that I think is really helpful in understanding what that means, it is a letting go. And I always want women to take a lie or something they're struggling with and replace it with the biblical truth. And so when we think of Romans 8:1, to me, that's that freedom statement, because when you can declare out loud Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, and you allow whatever it is that you are holding tight to, that condemnation of your value or your worth tied to an identity that God never gave you to own, to surrender that. Because what I hear in the message and in the story and the teaching is that our identity is in Christ. It is in Christ alone. And he has called us each with a clear purpose. And for us to, regardless of whether that is a season at home or in the workplace or in a community, to just understand that our value and our worth is tied to our identity in him. And in that identity, we are his daughters. We are enough. There is no expectation for us to be any more than he has already created us to be. And he loves us exactly where we are. And when we can stand firm in that confidence that he has given us, that confidence that we have in him, not in ourselves, not in our works, not in our knowledge or what we are, or the day to day, but we can stand in the confidence that we are his daughters and that is enough. That identity can help us to surrender all of the weight of all of the self-imposed perfection that we try to make ourselves live up to, and we can just rest in him. And so I would encourage anyone who has listened to this teaching to just take that pause and write down that scripture verse for yourself that holds you close to that identity that you have in him.
I love it. Thank you so much, Kristen. That is so powerful and so true. And honestly, when I think back on my own story and even things I've done this week that have been a challenge for me in this regard, it is truly all about standing in who I am in relationship with God and not letting anything else matter outside of that. And that's what gives me freedom. So thank you so much for your thoughts and comments on this topic as well. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.